Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zydus Wellness Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi everyone. As always, it's our absolute pleasure to host the management of Zydus Wellness for another quarter call. Today, the management is represented by Mr. Tarun Arora, CEO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. Now, over to Tarun and team for the opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you so much. Over to Tarun, sir.
Hello. Good evening and welcome to the post-results teleconference of Zydus Wellness Limited for quarter two, financial year 2025-26. Like Manoj mentioned, I have with me Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO, on the call from our side. During the quarter, consumption trends were influenced by early and extended monsoons, impacting sales in key seasonal categories. Despite this moderation, the non-seasonal portfolio demonstrated strong resilience, cushioning the overall business performance and ensuring steady momentum across core segments. Key commodities continue to exhibit divergent pricing trends. While certain inputs witnessed easing prices, others remained firm, leading to the mixed impact on the overall cost basket. Quick commerce and e-commerce channels continue to maintain strong growth momentum, underscoring the sustained shift in consumer purchasing behavior towards digital platforms. Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities are emerging as the next phase of growth drivers. The implementation of GST 2.0 led to transitory business disruptions, particularly within trade channels adapting to the new compliance framework. These short-term effects have mostly stabilized as we speak. We believe that the next generation of GST reforms is a welcome and progressive move. Currently, more than 85% of the company's products in the domestic market fall under the 5% tax bracket. This reform, coupled with changes in the direct tax rates and increased government spending, are likely to enhance product affordability, stimulate consumer demand, and strengthen overall value proposition of our brands. During the quarter, the company acquired Comfort Click Limited and its subsidiaries, strengthening its international presence across key markets in the U.K., European Union, and the USA as it builds forward. This acquisition has enhanced the company's overseas digital business platform and expanded its footprint in the fast-growing consumer healthcare segment. Comfort Click, through its brands WeightWorld, Maxmedix, and Animigo, is among the fastest-growing digital consumer healthcare platforms in the VMS, which is Vitamins, Minerals, and Supplements category. Supported by strong brand equity, loyal consumers, and Amazon ratings above 4.6 across major European markets, the business derives most of its revenue from e-commerce and D2C channels. It is well-positioned to benefit from rising health awareness and the growing focus on preventive healthcare. The post-acquisition performance in the initial months has been broadly in line with the expectation. Latest additions to our portfolio include Nutralite Active Peanut Butter, a plant-based range available in multiple exciting flavors, catering to growing consumer demand for healthy snacking options. There is RiteBite Millet Wafer Protein Bar made from jowar. Each bar consists of 10 grams of protein, contains no maida, no palm, and zero added sugar, again available in multiple flavors. The company registered strong double-digit growth, excluding the impact of seasonal brands and the newly acquired Comfort Click business. The performance of seasonal brands was temporarily affected by early and prolonged rainfall conditions across the country. However, the company's structural growth drivers remain intact. On a consolidated basis, the company reported net sales growth of 31% for the quarter and 12.8% for half year one, financial year 26. Driven by strong sales performance of newly acquired entities, which offset the impact of seasonal products. The company on a consolidated basis reported EBITDA of INR 230 million with a growth of 17.3% year on year. The acquisition has been funded through a low cost bridge loan at an interest rate of 5%, and the related interest cost has been included under finance costs. The brands recognized on acquisition are being amortized over a period of 15 years, resulting in a sequential increase in depreciation and amortization expenses during the quarter. Exceptional items include one-off expenses related to the acquisition of Comfort Click and costs associated with the voluntary liquidation of Natural India Private Limited, enabling the expeditious consolidation of its business with Zydus Wellness Limited on a going concern basis. The net loss, including exceptional items and other non-cash amortization, is INR 528 million. The adjusted net loss, excluding exceptional items, is INR 186 million. The acquisition of Comfort Click is cash EPS accretive, excluding exceptional items such as one-time acquisition-related costs. Alongside its financial performance, the company remains deeply committed to environmental, social, and governance, the ESG principles. For financial year 25, the company's latest ESG publication and S&P Global rating showed a 6.3% improvement, taking the overall ESG score to 84. The company now ranks in the 99th percentile amongst the 331 global companies on the FOA Food Products Industry Group, securing the third highest position globally as of 24th October 2025. Brand highlights and market share details are provided in the investor presentation. Notably, Complan has maintained its market share and improved its position from 5th to 4th place according to the Nielsen report of September 2025. Evue launched its anti-pollution scrub sachet. Sweetener recorded a 97.9 basis point increase in market share, also as per the Nielsen report, while Sugar-Free continues its double-digit growth for Sugar-Free Green continues its double-digit growth for 18th consecutive quarter. The Rite Bite Max Protein business has been integrated into company's broader distribution network, remains on track with its strategic growth plan, and has also entered international markets. Strategic initiatives are underway across the portfolio to enhance product awareness, expand the consumer base, and drive sustainable long-term growth. Thank you, and we will now begin the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So, actually, a couple of questions from my side. Is it possible to give what is the actual number of for the quarterly, which is included for the Comfort Click, which is there for 1 month and 2 days?
We don't give separate numbers.
But to understand the like-to-like performance of our core business, it would have been a little helpful. Since this was the first time the consolidation has started,
So for your help, what we can say is that we have given the full year financial numbers at the time of acquisition. We just have a 1 month of numbers that have come in, and it's largely in line with that. So that should be able to, I mean, that's the most we could help you with.
Okay. Okay. For segmental reporting, while business-wise we may not be segregating the business into various segments, which we have done for personal care and I think now that. But from a geographical segmentation also, will it make sense to now have a geographical segment given that we have two separate clearly identified geographies in terms of domestic and U.K. business as we go ahead for the year?
I think it's a good suggestion. We will review it at the end of this financial year because we do believe that the best way to do segmental reporting is at the beginning of a financial year. Over the next few months, we will consider this suggestion and relook at it if we need to revisit the segmental report disclosures.
Okay. Thirdly, finally, from a amortization of the brand over the 15 years, just to get a slightly better nuanced understanding, we have increased our intangibles by roughly 2,500 crores. And we have increased our goodwill by roughly around 800 crores. That's a 3,300 crore increase. So here, the amortization amount which will be sitting on the P&L for the next 15 years into four quarters, which will be 60 quarters if I say, will it be an equal amortization of this 2,500 crore or 3,300 crores?
The amortization will be of 2,400 crore. One thing for for your clarification is that probably the goodwill brand the total amortization amount which is there mentioned, right, that exceeds the acquisition cost already paid. But that is because of the creation of the deferred tax liability, which is a sort of benefit to us, right? In terms of financials, not really. Because, accounting standard requires us to create a deferred tax liability for that. Now, the amortization will be on 2,400 crore, equally spread across 15 years.
So, 40 quarters per 40 crores per quarter will be what? The additional charge will come?
Yeah, roughly around that. Yeah, approximately.
We will have the interest cost also on the bridge loan which is there for the as we go ahead, right?
Yeah. Currently it is 5% on this about 240 million GBP, and as we go and make part payment, repayment, it will go on reducing.
Right. Just on this bridge loan, sorry, I was not the part of the call when I think you acquired CCL. I missed that, if there was a call there. So I may not be knowing this, or pardon for duplication, but do we have plans for equity raising to reduce this at one time, or do we plan to take it as we go as an internal accrual?
So, currently what we have done is that we have taken a bridge loan for 15 months and we have a time to take it out and replace it, by another capital time. Could be a form of, mix of equity or borrowing. But currently we don't have any plan and we'll decide as we go along, maybe, in a couple of quarters. But currently, we'll leave with the bridge loan.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will come back in the queue with more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ronak Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. First of all, can you highlight what can be the quantified impact of the GST 2.0 implementation on the reported top line in the second quarter? And how do you expect these to normalize going into the third quarter, given the ongoing adverse monsoon seasons which we are seeing?
So we can't quantify the specific number that we faced. We did see a slowing down of purchases both in general trade as well as organized trade, whether look at modern trade and e-commerce. And there was a period of time when some of the larger players did not buy. But hard to specifically quantify. But what we've seen is largely everything has come back and stabilized and it is business as usual.
So we look forward to, you know, business as usual. From a consumer point of view, I don't think there would have been any significant shift from our business. May have just impacted some change in inventory, which will also catch up eventually.
Yeah. It did impact the primary, though, you know, secondary and tertiary, they remain and consumer. I mean, we did not lose any sales there.
Okay, got it. So my second question is on that despite one-off cost of the acquisition-related cost, which has accounted for the exceptional item, despite that, our reported EBITDA margin stand relatively lower compared to the last year. So does it play that it is purely because of the deleverage of the personal care segment, or the Comfort Click is currently operating at the lower margins compared to what we have acquired?
I don't think there is anything to do with Comfort Click. It just stays, I mean, too early to even imagine any changes there as it is. It's a deleverage of the seasonal brands, both Glucon-D and Nycil, came under significant pressure, and that deleverage, because our margins are anyway thin in this quarter, has played out. But otherwise, which is, again, like we have explained earlier in my statement and consistently, that's the only impact that we see.
Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, as the acquisition has been done, are we seeing any structural or operational intervention by the Zydus Wellness into the Comfort Click operational to have a different sort of growth trajectory or profitability metric right now?
Not required. I think it's too early. There is a capable management which is running it. They've been incentivized. We'll work with them wherever required, but there is a strong team, and they're building Europe. They're taking it to U.S. Nothing specific to talk about. We are obviously working more in finance and HR to start with, and then we'll see. I think too early to talk any specifics.
Oh, okay. That's it for my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. This is regarding this Comfort Click. If we are they continuing to grow at that 57% growth that they were growing previously? And if I remove that 1 month revenue, then our revenues are basically flat. Is that right number?
So, I think 57 is what we reported the last 5 years CAGR. Yeah? The growth rates are continue to be in good double digits. What we've seen is teams growth in the category at Europe level. They have been beating that for a long period of time, and we do believe they will continue to build that. But 1 month is too short a period to start even looking at these numbers from a clear point of view. Coming back to how is our performance without them, yes, we've had a tough quarter, largely impacted by the seasonal brands. Without seasonal brands and without counting Comfort Click, it's a good double-digit growth. Adding seasonal growth, seasonal brands back, it is largely flattish.
So my last question would be, when would they be pouring into the U.S. and in terms of the margins in that side of the business?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
When will you mentioned that they are looking to foray into the U.S. also. So when is that planned for Comfort Click's foray into the U.S.?
They've already started last year. So it's a long-drawn process. They've already started. They've already have action in place, including approval, setting up the whole thing. So it takes time, and it's a work in progress.
So my last question is, what would have been their growth in FY25, Comfort Click's growth?
Offhand, I don't have it specific. We have the five-year specific, but will be a good high double digit. We have it.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions again.
Is it possible to share some of the operating data from an e-commerce platform which we normally track in terms of monthly transacting customers or active customers? What kind of average order values are there? Some of the operations, because we are
sorry
not.
Sorry to interrupt, Mayur. Your voice is breaking.
Yeah, hello. Is it okay now?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. So, will it be possible to share some of the operating metrics for from a platform perspective in terms of active users, monthly transacting users, average order sizes, because being a I wasn't able to track some of these private entities doing that much data otherwise, and again I.
Sorry to interrupt, Mayur. Could you please check your network connection and rejoin the queue? Your voice is muffled.
Hello? Hello? Is it okay now?
Still the same. Could you please rejoin the queue? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, my next questions are on the RiteBite Max 14. So, sir, can you first of all highlight how the growth rates are considering we are now integrating the distribution channel of the Zydus Wellness into that? Secondly, how we are seeing the profitability of the business considering the high scale expansion?
So while we don't give number specifics, but I can give you a broad sense of how the business is doing. So business so far, almost 10 months since we bought it, has actually beaten all the past trends and our estimates from a top line point of view. Similarly, from a bottom line point of view, it has exceeded the estimates set for it. So we are quite bullish about the possibilities of this business, and we believe we'll continue to invest and innovate on this platform to make it more meaningful and sizable in our portfolio.
Okay, sir. And sir, from the understanding perspective, over last 10 odd months, how we have shifted to channel saliency, considering we are now pouring and increasing the presence into the offline market as well. Can you highlight something on that?
So we have expanded general trade distribution significantly, adding more towns, adding people, and we have plans to continue doing that. Similarly, quick commerce has been a big driver for this. The category has been growing, and we've been investing and growing significantly on the quick commerce platform. So overall, it's been a good growth story across channels. We've also started taking it international. So some of the markets we've got, as we introduced these products, we seem to be getting good response. It's a work in progress in early days to say about international.
Okay, sir. And sir, secondly, from the accounting perspective, we just want to have understanding. What is the amount at which we have reported the Comfort Click acquisition in INR terms? And when we split into the intangibles and goodwill, what is the proportion of that?
So proportion between the brand and goodwill is roughly about 75-25. And as Pramukh said, that we don't share the numbers in INR, but anyway, you have these numbers at the end of the year when we share the subsidiary performance.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First, looking at the headwinds that you called out in the quarter, which is pertaining to GST transition and the seasonality, margin seems to have done well. So are there any one-offs there? Or if this we have done in such a difficult quarter, should we assume that once normalcy comes back from 3Q, 4Q onwards, our margin trajectory will improve disproportionately and perhaps that ambition to reach 18-19% margin can be preponed?
I think while we are very focused on that, we have, you got the right point.
that given the deleverage we had because of loss on seasonal brands as well as GST, the impact is very steep, but I think it's been a difficult quarter. We still do believe that we are on path to doing 17%-18% that we've committed on EBITDA on the base business as per original plan. If Comfort Click also shapes up, then that also we hope to get there, but these are, I think, work in progress and early days to comment. But the base business, I think the story remains intact, and I think there's no specific shift I could report. Yes, we are committed to drive that much harder with improved gross margins, and we'll see some actions on that as we move forward. Improvement in gross margins, and if we can take a leverage out, maybe to do it more smoothly.
Very clear. So second, it's more of a request. The way our business is growing and expanding, the complexity is also increasing both in terms of domestic portfolio and overseas. How would you like us to kind of track the progress? And it's a request also, which was made earlier on the call, that if you can share at least international and India slightly separately so that we can have some fair sense of asking right questions.
Tejas, thanks. I think somebody else also pointed out we will seriously be looking at it, and we'll work towards it. Ideally, we change this at the beginning of a quarter, even when we started the disclosure between food and nutrition and personal care started at the beginning of a year, sorry, not quarter. So we'll see how quickly we can because we do recognize that these disclosures will help you to track us better, and we'll figure it out and come back to you. Hear you.
Very helpful, sir. Very helpful, sir. Thanks and all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and sorry, my call, there was the voice was muffled. Am I audible and clear now?
Yes, yes.
Yes. So, sir, what I was trying to understand is it will be helpful along with the while the current quarter, you can share some of the details, but make it a disclosure is with respect to how the platform, some of the operating highlights of the platform, which normally most platforms disclose in terms of what would be the average ticket size, what are monthly transacting customers, monthly active customers, how has been the growth in those channels. Also, in terms of sorry, but I again, I could not get understanding. Are we operating more like a marketplace model, or is it more like an inventory kind of sorry, means just a what do you call non-marketplace kind of not an inventory model? So how do we operate, and in that case, our take rates and because I understand EBITDA margins are more in the region of 15%, so it would be a marketplace kind of model. So just to share some of the understanding on the quarterly basis and make it a standard practice for us to understand and get rather than asking it on the call will help us to get a little more color on the international business as we go ahead, sir.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. So first of all, it's largely, and we've explained it earlier also, if you look at it, it's largely a marketplace. So about 75%-80% of the business is right now on Amazon, which is a marketplace model. Remaining is their own website. There are other platforms which we are exploring and we're building, but that's largely what reflects on this. Some of the metrics we could start sharing at this stage while we've reviewed and we are working on it, we could start sharing some of those things eventually. But some of them are also competitive in nature, so we'll review this and come back to you with some more details and color on this in terms of both the number of customers and revenue per customer on each of the two platforms, whether it is marketplace, which is largely Amazon, or D2C's website. These are things that we do review, but start sharing, we'll come back to you on the possibilities of that.
That will be great, sir. Sir, last question on the Comfort Click. Strategically, when at the time of our acquisition and now our plan, if we look at the next 3 years, the strategically will the focus be more on growth or will the focus be more on you know, getting efficiency and repeat customers? How or geographical expansion? Which of the three would be our focus and your milestones which you have given to the management team as we go ahead?
So there are three or four metrics that we could look at. One is they have a very good, strong, proven model of working with marketplaces, which is reasonably efficient. Trying to work on improving our market shares in each of the markets. Top six markets constitute a significant proportion of their business, and they will continue to focus on growth on the same country growth. And that's one metric or one KPI they will drive, growing within the geographies which are sizable for them, because there is still enough room for growth within those geographies. Second, parameter that they will focus is expanding to new markets, which are large, high potential markets. Like we talked about US, which is the largest of markets. That's a very large deliverable for them. Having done all these, the profitability and other, operational metrics are also part of their KPIs to look at. At the end of it, it should translate into ahead of the industry growth from a top-line point of view, but a stronger journey on EBITDA. This is the broad framework that we will be looking at this model if we look at over the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan Ganapati from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of questions. When I just look at the category size of Glucon-D, Complan and Mycel, which was given at the time of you acquiring those brands, whereas something like 850 crores, 6,700 and 750 crores. When I look at it, as we speak right now, Glucon-D has gone from 850 to 1,050, Complan has gone from 6,700 to 6,800, and Mycel also hasn't gone up. So is there a problem with the category that the category doesn't seem to grow from the time of you acquiring till now? That is number one. Second, if I look at your 2022 data and 2025 data in terms of market share, which you have actually provided, there seems to be a market share drop in Mycel and also in Complan. So I just want to know why category itself is not growing. And second, why on a slightly long-term point of view, like a three-year point of view, our market share have dropped.
Okay. So there are two or three parts to this question. Let me just break down into two parts. One is Complan and second is Glucon-D Nycil. First of all, Glucon-D Nycil, if I look at last 3 to 4 years, they've been growing at a good pace, much faster than pre-acquisition growth rate. Despite this being a low performance year, we have seen actual degrowth in this category. But the fact is that these are growing. Nielsen doesn't do justice. We have been engaging with Nielsen to give us better numbers. I only see across three brands there, coverage has actually reduced, and that's the problem. One reason, of course, also is at the time of acquisition, the e-commerce was 1%. Today, the share of e-commerce on each of these brands has gone up and going up to 15 to 20% for Complan, which is not even captured in the numbers we share at a industry and our market share levels. So if I were to redo my Complan market shares, including e-commerce, which is not reported by Nielsen, they will be in line with what we had at the time of acquisition. A little lower, but then that's also a choice. We have a disproportionately lower presence in sachets, which we believe is more value eroding. So we played as per the right consumer metrics, where we have grown on the larger packs, more profitable part of the business, and let go or played lower on the sachets. So directly, I think Complan The bigger issue is category has been under pressure, and it's been very public because the other two players, three players also talk about the same thing. Having said this, the market share is largely protected in the spaces which matter to us. If anything, UP and Bihar have actually been grown significantly from before acquisition to now. Critical markets of West Bengal and Tamil Nadu, we are fighting. Tamil Nadu, our market share is still as good or bad as it was before acquisition. West Bengal has been a bit of pressure, but the business is still holding in. So overall, I would say Complan, a larger category issue, but we managed kind of well. Looking forward, we do believe that the brand is getting stronger. How do we reframe and pivot it to potentially better spaces to build this brand? Coming back to Glucon-D Nycil question that you raised, those categories were growing at very low single digits in 4 to 5 years before acquisition. Now, Glucon-D in last 4 to 5 years is growing at good rates, almost 1.5 to 2x of what they were growing earlier. Nycil has also grown post-acquisition at a good double-digit rate. Market share at the time of acquisition was close to, for Nycil was 30, it went to 35, right now it's 33. I mean, these market share movements are competitive in nature. I don't think we are any weaker than others, but a little bit of a percentage here and there will move. But the brand has been growing at a good double digit, so I'm not too worried about Nycil trajectory or Glucon-D trajectory. Glucon-D, we are also pivoting to RTD, which you launched this year. For example, we had the Active Awards, and there may be more stuff that we'll be doing in terms of... So broadly, this is the broad space I could give. If you have more specifics, we can pick it up quickly, or maybe you want to have a more detailed conversation.
I think just one question on addition to that. Right? So if I look at the category itself, which has been reported, you know, including sugar-free, hasn't really grown since acquisition. It's nothing to do with any category of what you, when you mentioned the category size of Glucon-D, Complan, Nycil, and sugar-free. They have not really grown. They have grown at like 1%, 2%, 3% kind of thing, or even stayed flat. So is it is that category size also was reported wrongly, or how do we take this up? Because as investors, we find that the category itself is not growing. However, you are growing, that's one part. But how to think about it?
So there are two parts on this. Let me go to sweeteners, and I think that's to be looked at from a different lens. So between 2018-19, I don't remember the specific year, Nielsen stopped reporting because globally they sold the category space to IQVIA in their relationship. So for almost 1 or 2 years, they did not report the category. And when Nielsen IQVIA restarted the reporting, they reported a category drop of, I think, 15-20%. While we never dropped 15-20%. They have been rebuilding the category estimates for last 3 to 4 years, and therefore there is a asymmetric growth capture between Nielsen and Nielsen IQVIA and us. Having said this, I think last 3-4 years may be a better reflection, but around 18 to 20, I think, 19 to 20 or 21, I think almost 1.5-2 years we had limited reporting of sugar-free or the sweetness category from Nielsen IQVIA. So there was a bit of struggle on that, and they suddenly dropped, because if you look at all our reports, I don't have it handy, suddenly from a 360, 370 crore, they dropped it down to 310, 320 crores, and then after that they've been rebuilding the category. Our, coming back to how we've been performing, I think we've been very clear, we've been growing, but at a single digit. Our challenge has been that this category can do better. With recent actions on sweeteners, with Sugar Light, which again went through a trouble, but I am Light, Sugar Free Delight, and Sugar Free Green. These are our pivots of driving double digit growth and should overcome the challenge that the category, base category, has faced. But that's a broad sense of what has happened.
Got it. I'll come back into it.
And also, just on that, I think this category has also had a high e-commerce presence now, which again is missing in the Nielsen IQVIA reporting.
Just to summarize, right, I think it would be helpful to actually put the right category size number, as well as perhaps your, what do you think is your market share, Otherwise, it's not a good good presentation, I would say, because it either underwhelms your company's performance or we are unable to really understand what's going on. So we just perhaps maybe you can relook at it and see whether the way in which you want to represent the segment or market share and growth. Thank you.
I understand what you're saying. The problem is that we report a best third-party estimates available. We don't, I mean, it will be unfair for us to start quoting our estimates because then there is a biases that come. We have a view, but from a fair, transparent reporting point of view, I try to give you the best possible estimate that we can give you available in the market. We have impressed upon Nielsen to get e-commerce estimates so that we are able to represent the category better. It helps us to drive our actions internally. It helps us to share with you more transparently what the category is. But any playing with those numbers while reporting to you is not the best.
One,
I would
see, you know, since you acquired these three brands, Glucon, Complan, and Nycil, if you just index it at 100, what has been the CAGR of these three things put together? If you can just say...
Double digits on Nielsen for last 4-5 years. High singles or closer to double digit for Glucon-D. Complan has not been so good, but that's more category because the category has been flattish for almost 4-5 years.
So these three plans put together... Yeah, I mean, these three plans put together, what has been the CAGR growth, you said? Which is all of them put together?
I think we can set up a more detailed conversation separately.
Sure,
Sanket
sure.
Will,
thank you.
Up.
Thank
we
you.
Can reach out to Mr.
Thank
Sanket
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Dodeja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my end. So, this new acquisition, Comfort Click, what are the target return ratios like, and when do you anticipate crossing the hurdle rate? And second question being, what has been the initial consumer traction like for the millet wafer protein bar, and how does the margin profile of these next gen products are compared to the established heritage portfolio like Sugar-Free or Glucon-D? And these new launches are driving new consumer acquisition or are they capturing wallet share from your existing brand users? That's it from my end.
So let me answer the consumer questions first. First of all, the millet bar, I think it's early days, but we see a fairly good traction because most of the people who tried the product have loved it. We see both on e-commerce as well as GT a good traction. So we are quite excited about the possibilities. From a gross margin perspective, overall Max Protein business and this included is largely in line with our overall gross margins before Comfort Click. And that's what we have stated earlier also. Largely in line with that, we can't give you more specifics than that. And third was, how is the growth coming? I think the share of growth is not coming from any of the internal brands. Most of the innovations are actually helping us gain a wider set of consumers who have not been consuming our brands. And that's really what the value of innovations will be. If I were to cannibalize or share, take wallet share from within my portfolio, then it's not a valuable innovation. The only brand, the only innovation or only piece that I see which partially cannibalizes is Sugar-Free Green, because all the Sugar-Free, you know, consumers who may be considering exiting may come back on natural-based products. Most of our, you know, innovations really focus on acquiring new set of consumers, including Sugar-Free Green. So I think that remains a fundamental ways of working. Coming back to your question on earnings, I'll let Umesh handle it.
Yeah, so on the Comfort Click acquisition as such, you know, you may be aware that whatever the acquisitions happened over the last past 2 years in the FMCG segment, you know, the likely payback period always have exceeded 8-10 years, but here we are quite optimistic
even as per our internal conservative estimates, we are really optimistic about this particular acquisition, how it plays out. But it will be too early to say. But no specific hurdle rate or internal targets have been set out currently on this. But we are working on the future strategy and the growth aspects.
Okay, sir. Is the hurdle rate a high single digit or in mid-teens? Can you quantify that number?
So if you are by hurdle rate, if you mean the volume growth or the sales growth or the any specific like
No.
Margin. So if you are looking at the margins, we have already published our margin at the time of acquisition. We hope that they will either remain the same or continue to improve. But what is going to drive the profitability is not the margin percentage, but the growth in the volume and the growth in the sales. And that we are very optimistic about.
Okay, got it. And one more question just from my last one. I've noticed the A&P spends have gone up significantly this year, while when we include the effect of seasonal brands, the top line, as you mentioned, is flattish. So just wanted to know whether this hike is a result of competitive intensity or any other reason.
So it's just because inclusion of the result of 1 month and 2 days.
As well as the
RiteBite and Max Protein. Those advertising marketing spends were not in the base numbers of the last year.
Like for like portfolio has been
they have
in line with the sales or a bit lower only.
Yeah.
So we've managed the advertising.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Anand from Nirnulya Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on depreciation and amortization. So for full year basis, is it expected to be around 160 crores?
So the brand depreciation on the Natural India Private Limited as a competitive brand, the quarterly run rate will be in the range of 46-47 crore.
Okay. And secondly, it is question related to Comfort Click. So did Comfort Click clock 15% plus EBITDA margin in this quarter?
It's just a 1 month of numbers. I think it's too early to comment specifically. Like Umesh has also mentioned, I think we'll be publishing the results of the subsidiary on an annual basis, and that would be the best time to look at it. Month to month will be just too short. But we do believe it will be in line with the focus at the time of acquisition, but 1 month is too early.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to understand the e-commerce part better. So you mentioned 15% of compliance sales is from e-commerce, is that right?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
I wanted to understand this e-commerce part better. Are the margins in e-commerce this year lower than last year versus general trade if I compare margins? And that's the hint I'm getting from other FMCG companies.
No. For us, it's largely in line with the regular.
Other channels. Okay. And it's 15% of sales for Complan, is that right?
I mean, broadly, it varies from brand to brand.
Right.
Some brands are much higher, some brands are
for Complan and for RiteBite and Complan.
So for RiteBite is much higher and Complan will be more 15-18% range.
Right, sir. And do we see, in terms of the growth for, like you said, the market share has improved 1%. So what drives that increase in market share? Is it more the e-commerce, a change in channel or?
So we continue to focus more on channel by channel strategy, where we are seeing good traction. You're asking about Complan, I'm assuming.
We
continue to focus on larger packs in organized channels and really helps us focus or get our better performance on that. There are different SKUs in different channels, and that channel by channel strategy helps us to execute better as per the consumer needs.
Right, sir. And so my last question is on this Comfort Click. Like you rightly said, at the end of the year, we'll have a clearer picture. But since we are penetrating new markets like the US, more in Europe, so will that not take a toll on margins in the first year because of, you know,
no, we don't expect
higher advertising spends for those markets?
No. We don't expect that challenge.
And the strategy, go-to-market strategy will be pretty much similar in terms of customer acquisition, what it has been in the UK?
Yes, largely built on the knowledge that we acquired from European.
Right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Agrawal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So I have two questions. One is trying to understand what Q3 and Q4 will look like. My understanding is that we've had a difficult Q2 because of the challenges in the seasonal category, which is, I understand, Nycil and Glucon-D. I also remember from last quarter's call that 80 to 90% of sales for Glucon-D and Nycil are booked in Q1 and Q2. So, you know, while you're still targeting that 17%-ish margin for the full year, do you have any thoughts on where will that specifically come from, or how do we achieve that? Because I'm assuming these two products will continue to underperform for Q3 and Q4.
I think, let me just say that I think some part of your understanding is not exactly correct. Actually,
okay.
It's not Q, it's quarter four and quarter one of a financial year, which constitutes the largest portion of these businesses. It's just that we've had a bad season or tough season because of the continuous rains that quarter one and quarter two have got impacted. There is no reason for us to believe that this is what will continue. Quarter three is anyway a small quarter for these brands. And quarter four is a new season altogether, so it just resets and there is a new thing which happens, which is more of a pipeline fill. So we do not have any estimates specifically to give, like you said, but this is the broad direction that I can share with you. As far as 17-18% EBITDA journey you have talked about, we have stated at the beginning of the year that over the next 2 years, we intend to get to a 17-18, which is through a mix of gross margin improvements and operating leverage as the scale goes up, and it translates into a better operating leverage, helping us get to it. We are on track. Most of our actions are in place. Temporary or short-term impact of business doesn't change our broad strategic approach to get there.
Understood. And good to know that Q4 still presents potential on those categories. My second question is really about how you're looking at the business in, you know, over a 3 to 5 year horizon. Are you seeing all of the different product categories contributing more or less evenly to the growth, or are you seeing one or two categories as being the blockbusters that will really drive the future of the company?
We are a multi-category, multi-channel and multi-geography now. And each of the cells, if I want to look at, we have plans and strategies to build it. So it's not just one or two, but whole lot of sales if I were to break down by channel, brand, geography, etc. We've got our strategy in place, and therefore that should help us get to our double-digit growth that we aspire over the next 3 to 5 years.
Understood. Are there any, let me rephrase, are there any specific ones that you see as being outperformers or contributing disproportionately to growth, or are there any categories that perhaps, and you may not, but perhaps have more of a focus than the others?
No, I think, like I explained, each one has their own task, and we've clearly got this. If you want to pick up more questions, I think you should reach out to Sanket, and he'll be able to help you with some of those more specific things.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, thank you for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on the acquisition of ComfortClick. I think it's a very interesting addition to the Zydus portfolio. The question I had was, with respect to distribution, we are a company which started with distribution at the chemist channel, and over time we have also expanded our distribution to the general trade in the form of Kirana stores. Today, if we were to look at on a pan-India basis, what percentage would we have covered, and is distribution a lever for us to expand both for Ritebite and for the legacy Zydus portfolio? Thanks.
Yeah, distribution will continue in our FMCG business to be a strong lever for growth. We have, at an overall level, as explained in the past, from our traditional portfolio before, even the Max Protein business, about 28-29 lakh outlets which stock Zydus Wellness products, with a direct reach of more than 6.2 lakh outlets. We are planning to go up further over the next couple of quarters to increase our direct distribution, and our wish list is to take overall availability to 3 million first and then get to 3.5 and further beyond. So distribution will remain a focus, and we also look at other channels as they grow from a consumer behavior point of view. We think we have to be wherever the consumers shop.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. And just one question on Ritebite. Any plans to foray into protein powder or more of fitness level SKUs?
We are evaluating multiple new products. We will share once we have something specific.
All right. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this is the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. We look forward to seeing you at the end of quarter three. Thank you and best wishes.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Zydus Wellness, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.